Steve. Have a seat, everyone. Isn't it great to be in church this morning? I just love being in church and I love being here because I'm never here for a morning service. So there's some people I don't get to see very often. So it's very exciting. The sanguine in me goes, yay. How about before we start, we pray? Because I know that to even have an opportunity for God's word to really penetrate our hearts, we actually need to be in agreement with him. So let's open our hearts and let's ask God to do what he wants to do in us this morning. Father God, we just open ourselves to you right now. And Lord, with your grace, with your mercy, with all that you are, I just ask that you'll come and you'll have your way. Lord, that you'll pour yourself out on us. Lord, that you'll prepare our hearts to receive your word. And Lord, that your word, that every word I speak will hit the target, Lord, that you will empower it and equip it to do all you send it out to do. Father God, we just give this time to you. We love you. We bless you. We honour you. And we lift up the name of Jesus this morning. We ask, Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Woohoo! We've got good stuff this morning. Jason, you just preach my preach. But that's all right. I'll just say it slightly different. You know, he used almost every scripture that I have, which I think is very cool, because that means God's in control and God's doing stuff. And I want to talk to you today about what true love is. What do you think true love is? When you think of the word true love, what do you see? What mental images do you see? It was my son's wedding 2 weeks ago, and it was awesome. And when you look at a couple getting married, you think, that's true love. Well, you hope it is. But sadly, our divorce statistics tell us that actually isn't true love. That might be the start of something. That might be the start of love. But it definitely isn't the only expression of true love there is. Yes, getting married can be an expression of true love. But unfortunately, it often isn't. It's an expression of need. It's an expression of a whole lot of things. But in this day and age, it's not always an expression of commitment. And if you know anything about the Word of God, you know that love's not a feeling. It's not a warm, fuzzy, although it can be. It can feel good, but it doesn't always feel good. It's not an ooey-gooey feeling. You know, people who say, oh, I'm so in love, they walk along and the sun seems brighter and the day looks prettier and the flowers are just more beautiful and everything's rosy because they feel in love. But who knows that kind of love doesn't last? Who knows that in any relationship, not just a marriage relationship, but any relationship, there comes a time when the day is not so bright anymore. You might have an argument. You might just not agree on something. You might just wake up feeling grumpy. But some days, loving isn't easy. But see, those days are when you see what true love really is. Because those days are when you see that love is a choice. Love is a commitment. Love is a decision. Love is not a feeling. The feelings come out of your decision. The feelings come out of the commitment. But it's not a warm, fuzzy rush of excitement. That's infatuation. In the Message, in the Message Bible, have a look in your Bible, in John chapter 15 and verse 13. In the Message it says it just a little bit differently. It says, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I've loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You're my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You know, Jesus' love for us is eternal. We know that, right? We know that Jesus died on the cross for us, and if there was only one of us that was ever going to be born in this place we called earth, we know that Jesus still would have came. Because even though he went to the cross and he said he gave his all to save the world, When you boil it down, it's just you and him. Greater love has no man than to lay his life down for his friend. Jesus called us friend before we ever even looked at him. He called us friend before our fathers or grandfathers or grandfathers were a twinkle in anyone's eye. God loved us. He's loved us throughout eternity. He loved us from before this world was ever created. And he says to us to love each other the way he loved us. He doesn't say love the way the world loves. That's easy because it's really disposable. See, God's love is not disposable. You can't throw it away. Who knows? Everyone sitting here, I would presume, knows that you cannot run away from the love of God. Eventually, he tracks you down. That's why you're here. For me, it took quite a long while because I'm stubborn. For some of you, you're really good. But that's true love. True love hunts you down. True love tracks you. True love doesn't give up, doesn't walk away, it doesn't get discouraged. It makes a decision, it makes a commitment. That's what true love is. Love is an action. When you look at Jesus, when he was asking Peter, "Will you feed my lambs? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me?" He asked him three times if he loved him. And at the end of every time when Peter said yes, Jesus asked him to do something. See, love's an action. Out of love will always come action on your part. Love's not just a feeling. It's not just something you just feel and everything's just going to be great and you don't have to do anything. No, love is hard work. But it is the most rewarding work you'll ever do. It really, really is. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Men, you're going to love this. I know you are. I can hear your excitement. Yeah? You know, quite often we look at this and we think this is a man verse. Girls, I want you to listen. There's no girl verses and there's no boy verses in the Bible. It all applies to all of us. The Bible says, therefore, there is no male or female in Christ. So when it says, husbands, love your wives, guess what, wives? It actually means you too. Sorry. It says, watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behaviour from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love us in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Don't allow love to turn to lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practicing, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. It doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. You know, if we love the way that God loves, we won't even go there. You know, there'll be something that is just so radiant in our lives that people will be drawn to us like moths to a flame. And that is as it should be. That's what love really is. Love is a grace gift from God, an empowering and equipping that enables us to make those choices, to make those commitments that mean that we'll go forward and build great relationships. If you look at the relationships in your life, how are they in the love stakes? You know, when Emily was little, she used to go, this is before I was a Christian, she used to go to scripture. She used to, remember the little stickers that the Baptists used to hand out? I don't know. You know, paper stickers. Once you stick them on somewhere, they don't come off. So Emily came home with this one that said, God is love. There's this little thing, a bit bigger than a stamp, and she stuck it on my fridge. I never got it off again. And it annoyed me. But she loved it so much, I had to put up with it for years. And I looked at it, and it would say, God is love. God is love. And I went, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure. God is love. God is love. But you know what? When you allow that to become a concept that you allow into your spirit, into your soul, you realize that God doesn't love. God is love. It is the very nature of who he is. It's not just a characteristic he can put off and on. It is who he is. God is love. In every ounce of who he is love. So therefore, everything God does is love. Everything God says is love. Every time God corrects us, it comes from love. Every time God blesses us, it comes from love. Who knows that sometimes those corrections are actually the blessings? Because it's love. We can get trapped into thinking that people don't love us when they bring correction into our life. But you know what? That's one of the highest forms of love there is. Someone who comes to you with a heart that says, I love you enough to allow you to reject me right now. I love you enough to be unpopular with you, if that's what it takes, because I value you so much, I want to see you go on and do better. We must open our hearts and allow people to help us. Allow people to help us to grow in love. Allow people to help us to come into accountability when we can't do it ourselves. We must. We must. Because that's when we'll see great things in our lives. Do you ever wonder why we constantly seek love from others but never feel completely satisfied? Do you ever wonder why there's so many people out there in our local community who are killing themselves with drugs, with alcohol, with terrible relationships, with all sorts of stuff? They're just deadening their mind, they're deadening their body, they're deadening their soul. Why? Why? Why are they willing to be placed in abusive situations? Why are they willing to put their very lives on the line? Why are they willing to neglect their children? Why? It's not because they're bad people. It really isn't. It's because somewhere in here there is something so hungry, so needy, and they don't know how to fill it. See, God created us with a need for love. He created us with an absolute need to worship him, a need to be in relationship with him. And if we don't have that, guess what? We are going to try other things, trying to fill it. We are going to be unhappy until we find it. And sometimes all the stuff we've done on the way to finding it really brings destruction to our lives. I know that for me, myself, that was true. I had no idea. I loved God as a kid, walked away from God very definitely as a teenager when some stuff happened in my life that I wasn't happy with, and came back to God after a very, very long and torturous journey. My choice, my stubbornness. But along the way, I was looking for God. I just didn't know I was. I was looking for God so hard I went into a marriage situation that was much less than ideal. There's a lot of people who have had much, much worse than me. But I married someone I knew I didn't love because I was so desperately needy. I married the first person who asked me, regardless of how I felt, and I just thought I was dysfunctional because I couldn't love him. And I spent the next 13 years in hell. A hell of my own making. It wasn't that my ex-husband was such a terrible person. It was that we were totally, totally unsuited. We were totally unmatched. I was someone who had a belief in God. He was a confirmed atheist. I liked this, he liked that. And it wasn't just black and white. It wasn't just opposites. It wasn't that opposites attract. It's that dysfunction attracts. And so if we don't know that, and we get married, then we start beating ourselves up because we think love means we've got to stay even when we're getting damaged. Love means we've got to do a whole lot of things. I actually left my husband before I became a Christian. And God got a hold of me not long after that. I actually wonder if I had have stayed, if I would be a Christian now. I don't know. I probably wouldn't be alive, and that's the truth. However, a couple of years after becoming a Christian, I then had to start dealing with the results of all my decisions. I suddenly realised how much God hates divorce. I suddenly realised just what I had done. And regardless of my ex-husband, regardless of who he was, what he did, anything, I had to go before God and deal with myself. And that was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. For 3 years I cried out to God. I felt so guilty. And it wasn't until God gave me a real understanding of His forgiveness and what forgiveness really is that I was able to forgive myself. See, God forgave me before the beginning of time. He just did because He's wonderful. But I wouldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go because I thought I had to suffer still because I was so dysfunctional. That's not love. That's not God's love. That's a whole lot of things, but it's not love. You know, people will always let you down at some point. No matter who they are, no matter how wonderful they are, no matter how great your relationship is with them, someone will hurt you. If you're married, your partner will hurt you. No matter how in love you were the day you got married, there will be days when just stuff happens. That's just life. Sorry. It is. It's life. Life happens. But it's what you do in those times that matters. It's how you respond in those times that will make or break your relationship. And I know that if you'll get God around your heart, if you'll walk in God's ways, if you'll find out what God says about you, who He says you are, if you'll let Him rewrite what love is in you so that you're not operating from dysfunction, so that you're not operating from the world's faulty view, then you know what? You will not be a divorce statistic. You can't be. Because when you love like God loves, and when your partner loves like God loves, you've got a combination that cannot be beaten. We have to know the unconditional love of God to love others with unconditional love. See, way back then, I thought I was loving others. I had heaps of friends, always had heaps of friends. Love people, always have. That's great. But I was using friends and didn't even realise it because I was needy. And I'm not the only one, right? Or do I feel paranoid up here? I'm the only needy person who's ever, ever, ever actually had no idea how to be a functional person. No. We all are. We're born that way. We're born faulty. It happened before we ever even were thought of. It just happened. We're faulty. We're dysfunctional. We're born into it. But we have an opportunity to be healed. We have an opportunity to be made whole. And only true love, only the true love of God can do that. What's the difference? What's the difference between God's love and the love that we see on the TV and the love that we see, that we hear about in popular music? What's the difference between the love that we talked about at school and the love that the boyfriend and girlfriend have? What's the difference? Do you know what the difference between true love and the world's view of love is? Let's have a look at it. See, the world's view of love really is dysfunctional. It's romanticised. It's made to be so perfect that you can't attain it, and then you feel guilty because you can't, so you must be dysfunctional. And it just starts this whole cycle. But God said you can have it. God said you can be it because we're supposed to become more and more like Him. So what is the difference? In our society, what we call love, what's love in popular culture, is actually soulish love. It's an infatuation. Infatuation sees the other person as perfect. And so eventually that wonderful person in whatever relationship it is going to do something wrong and disappoint you. See, infatuation means that you'll always be disappointed because no one can ever live up to your ideal. Infatuation wants to get their own needs met. It's selfish, it's what's in it for me. Infatuation quickly falls in love. Got news for you, teenagers, there's no such thing as falling in love. It's a decision you make. It's absolutely a decision you make. And it's a decision that you don't have to make. You don't have, and you know, one of the greatest things I learnt is, do not say that L word unwisely. Because as soon as you say you love someone, you're committed. Whether you realise it or not, it is not a word to be tossed around. It is not a word to be abused. Love is a commitment. You say you love someone, you better be there. You better be with them through good times and bad. Because by using that word, you're making a vow. You may not realise it, but you are. Love is it's infatuation shuts others out. It's exclusive. An infatuation type love tends to be me, 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 me. It's all about me. It's all about me having my needs met. It's all about me feeling great about myself. It's all about me looking good. Because that's what soulish love is. It means other relationships deteriorate. And you begin to become dependent on that person. Now this sort of love can happen in friendships. It's not just a girl-boy thing. It actually can happen in any relationship where there's a bond, a friendship growing. You can become so tied to someone wrongly that you actually become dependent on them. And you stop seeing other people, you stop hanging around other people, and you need that person. See, they're feeling that need deep inside that only God's supposed to fill. It's manipulative and clingy. In the Bible, it talks about Samson's wife. Now, Samson really loved this lady that he gave his heart to. God had told him not to marry people that weren't from his own culture, but he married this lady. And she kept saying, if you have a look in that story, she kept saying things to the effect of, if you loved me, if you loved me. If you find yourself saying that stuff, whew, watch out. It's not a joke. Love is not a joke. It's a commitment. Infatuation lasts for a short period of time. Sometimes it lasts a bit longer than others. Depends how strong the infatuation is. But it will always peter out because it's always built on selfishness. There's a lack of unity in direction of a relationship because whoever's in the relationship aren't in it to see where we can go together. They're in it to see where I can go. What can you do to fill my need? And it usually develops as a result of need. But the difference between infatuation type love and true love is that true love gives. True love concentrates on others. True love is not about what's in it for me, but it's how can I serve you. That's what true love is. And, you know, if you go into a marriage, you go into a friendship, you go into any relationship with an attitude of how can I serve you? Wow. What would the world see if they saw those sorts of relationships in Christians' lives? The Bible says, know we're Christians by our love. Unfortunately, a lot of people in the world know we're Christians for a lot of other reasons than that. But the one thing, the one shining example that is supposed to tell the world in no uncertain terms is the way we love and care for one another. We've got to be others oriented. True love wants to serve the other person. It's selfless. It's inclusive. See, true love builds a bigger heart. It builds a capacity to love even more. When you love someone with the right mentality, with the right perception, with the right thoughts in your heart, all of a sudden your heart expands and you can love more. Most people know who've had children. You look at your first child and you think, how on earth could I love another child? My heart is full. This child is so amazing. And then you have another child and you think, my goodness gracious me, my capacity to love just exploded. And you realise that you love this child in a totally different way because they're a totally different person. You don't love the other child less. You don't love your partner less. You have just increased your capacity to love. when you give, when you're willing to serve, you'll be amazed by how much love you do have the capacity to carry. Relationships build over time. Love builds over time because love is a series of little choices. It's a series of commitments. You don't just bump into someone, love at first sight, and build a healthy, happy marriage with no other work. You don't build healthy friendships without spending time with people. And you don't really understand who people are and what is so wonderful about them until you do spend time with them, God included. So if you want to learn to love the way God loves, you need to spend time with Him. Because as we watch Him, as we become more like Him, so our capacity to love others in our lives increases. Love isn't jealous or envious. It's a commitment to serve. Now, infatuations can be tempting because they seem easy. There's not much work to it. You know, you just fall in love or you fall into this friendship that seems very easy because it's getting your needs met. But eventually, the dysfunction will show. Eventually, there'll be a bite to it. Because God made true love to be something that represents Him. He made true love to be something that draws others to Him. And everything that God made that is wonderful, Satan tries to mess up. So the world's version of love is just a messed up version of God's. And that's why it doesn't meet your needs. It's a counterfeit. It's a fake. I hate fakes. It's nothing worse, girls, than getting a Chanel bag and having it all fall off and realise it's, you know, the leather's peeling and it's fake. And it's nothing worse than guys getting one of those Super U-Boot, I don't know, tag watches or something and realising that someone bought it for you for $2 in China and it just fell apart. It's so disappointing. It's disappointing because it's a fraud. True love is not fraudulent. It's truth. It's the truth of God. It's the power of God. And we're supposed to have it in our lives. I'm just going to read you something out of Deuteronomy. Do this because you are a people set apart as holy to God, your God. God, your God, chose you out of all the people on earth for Himself as a cherished personal treasure. God wasn't attracted to you and didn't choose you because you were big and important. The fact is, there was almost nothing to you. He did it out of sheer love. Keeping the promise He made to your ancestors, God stepped in and mightily brought you back out of that world of slavery. He freed you from the iron grip of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know this, God, your God, is God indeed. A God you can depend upon. He keeps His covenant of loyal love with those who love Him and observe His commandments for 1,000 generations. That's love. God doesn't love us because of who we are. God loves us because of who He is. Because He's so great. Because He's so wonderful. Because He's so functional. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that God didn't wait until we decided to come to Him to love us? Because if He'd have done that, we would have all been going to hell. It's the truth. If He'd have done that, none of us would be on the process of being made whole. None of us would know unconditional love. None of us would know acceptance. But God's love, His love that served all mankind, hunted us down. He loves us so much. He loves you so much. What are you doing with that love in your life? What are you doing with it? Is it just me, 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 oh God, thank you for loving me, it's wonderful? Or are you actually allowing that to come into your heart and then come out again through your actions? Are your hands showing love to your community? Are your hands serving your husband? Are your hands serving your wife? Are your hands serving your community? Are your hands serving your children? Have you humbled yourself before the love of God and said, God, I'm here, send me? Or are you just gobbling it all up? Church, it's time to wake up. It's time to take the love of God and use it the way God wanted us to use it, to apply it to our lives. And we all do to some extent, but we can all do so much more. So much more. You know, I'm always shocked when I ask someone if they'll give someone new a ring and they say no. They say, I don't really like ringing people. I think, neither do I really. It's not really about what I like. It's not. How many times do we miss a God-given opportunity because we don't like it? How many times do we miss an absolute appointment with destiny, not only ours but someone else's? I miss it because we're selfish. How many times do we go on preference instead of purpose? How many times? I'll put my hand up first, lots. Try not to, but hey, we're human. In Romans 12, 9-10, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Look at the person beside you. Look at the person behind you. Have a good look around. Are you devoted to one another? Are you serving one another? Are we serving one another? Do you notice if that person isn't in church? Do you follow them up? Even if they're not in your clique? Even if they're not in your group? Do you? Sorry, I'm just asking questions. You can answer. In Romans 13:8, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandments, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. Jesus said, do two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and love one another as yourself. If we follow that recipe for relationship, if we follow that recipe for life, we will never, ever, ever go wrong. Use the love God's given you. Don't abuse it. Use it. It's a tool. It's a tool. It's the steps to a great life. Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. A whole lot of other things fail, but love, true love, never fails. Colossians 3:9 says, "Don't lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's you, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Do you want to be perfect? You want to be made perfect? Put on love. You want to be bonded to the absolute perfection of God? Put on love. Walk in love. Be a hand of love. Be the heart of love to every single person in your life. Because love never fails. Say it with me. Love never fails. Do you believe it this morning? Love never fails. Because God never fails. How about we bow our heads? Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your love today. I thank you that each one of us this morning is just wrapped in your love right now. That before we can even conceive of, Father, that you loved us so much, you planned to send your Son, the answer to the world. Father, each one of us in our lives have been damaged by faulty love, by infatuation type love, by soulish love. But today, Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to brood over us, to come and bring healing, to come and bring hope to broken hearts. Father, for those who've been damaged in relationships that were faulty, I just pray your grace upon them right now. Lord, I just ask that every person here we'll just have a touch from your Spirit today. In Jesus' name. You know, I don't know all of you here this morning, and I don't know if all of you know the love of God, but I know that without the love of God, the only love you can ever have in your life is going to be faulty. Because God is the source of all love. God is the source of all good. God is the source of everything you need to live a wonderful life. And if you're not connected to God, you don't even understand that. Because you can't. A bit over 10 years ago, God did something in my life that was so extreme, it changed me forever. But he did that as a result of a quality decision I made. You see, God had been calling on me for quite a while, and I had a hard heart, and I kept steeling myself against it. I didn't want to be one of those dorky Christian people who have no life and have no fun. That just so wasn't what I wanted to be. But something in my heart broke, and I realized I just couldn't do it anymore. That might be you this morning. You know you need God. And for whatever reason, you're holding off and holding off. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you're just not sure. But I just want to encourage you this morning, take a chance on God. Because you know, if you open up your heart just a little bit, if you'll ask him in, he'll come and change your life. He doesn't force himself on you. He only comes when he's invited. But I want to ask you today, is that you? Do you know God? Do you know this love in your heart that I've been talking of? If that's you, I'd really love you to put up your hand. We'd love to pray with you and show you how to bring God into your life, to open your life to him, so he can show you this unconditional love that only he can show you. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed. Please put up your hand. I feel like, God, there's one person that God is really speaking to. There's such pain in your heart. And he's saying to you today, I want to heal you. You don't have to feel like this anymore. If you would like to come and talk to me after the service, I would love to pray with you. Could I just get the music team back up, please? As the music team are coming up, I'm just going to open the altar. You know, so many of us have been damaged by faulty relationships, by things we thought were love and turned out to be a very, very cheap imitation of it. And if you've got pain in your heart from a relationship like that, we would love to pray with you and believe that God will bring wholeness today. The music team's just going to take over now. But please come forward. Don't walk out of here broken and hurting. Walk out of here filled with hope, filled with promise, filled with the love of God, because that's what's going to change your life. Amen.